You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the SEA. You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the SEA.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Fabulous Peltoncast. I'm your co-host, Kevin Pelton.
And I'm Tristan Carcino.
And we are coming to you from Renton, Washington, home of the Super Bowl 48 champion Seattle Seahawks, in regional home to the 2019 NCAA tournament, period, Washington Huskies.
Hello!
The streak is over. It has been 8 long years. All 10 to 15 of your children have been born since the last time
wow.
the Huskies went to the
NCAA
tournament. That is accurate.
Man, my favorite thing about ending the streak is that it makes the Mariners streak that much more embarrassing.
Doesn't it, though?
I think since it is St. Patrick's Day and it's Selection Sunday, we should toast to the Huskies going to the NCAA tournament with a Guinness.
It seems only appropriate, indeed, to do so.
All right. That is 11.2 ounces of silky goodness.
Mm. That tastes like a lot of high lottery picks and no NCAA tournament appearances. That's what it tastes like. But no, it tastes like the streak being over. And in such thrilling fashion.
Like we could have had Michael and Jonte Porter.
Well, that's, you know, wouldn't have had much of
but
Michael,
we got
Michael
in!
Or Jonte Porter, as it turned out. Yes. And got so there in such thrilling fashion by losing the Pac-12 tournament final by 20 points to Oregon last night.
Well, so, okay, let's start things off. First, seeing on Selection Sunday, not too much drama, I would say. I think we were pretty much, when they were showing the 8 and 9 seeds, anticipated that the Huskies would be one of those two.
The famous Cousin Katie got very concerned to not see the Huskies in the first two brackets. I can't say that I was too surprised or worried at that point.
Well, it's like when you're expecting to be an 8 or 9 seed, you expect to be in.
Yeah.
You're a lock. They have been a lock for 2 weeks.
That would be a huge surprise. I mean, we were looking at bracketmatrix.com. They have 104 mock brackets on there. 103 of them had the Huskies in. And the only one that didn't, I think, only had one Pac-12 team in. Oregon is the auto bed. And it turns out the selection committee loves the Pac-12.
We are a three-bid conference, baby.
Hey.
Take that, Brad Catology.
I thought there was a pretty good chance it was going to be a one-bid conference for a long period of time. And I thought after...
This Guinness still somehow smells like a power conference.
Well, but just barely, but yes. I thought, you know, after Oregon pulled off the win last night, that would knock off Arizona State, was my suspicion, and keep the Pac-12 at 2. But lo and behold, the selection committee disagreed.
Respect. So the Huskies will be facing Utah State, the 8th seed in Columbus, Ohio, on Friday. But before then, you mentioned the Pac-12 tournament in Las Vegas. What did we learn? I didn't see any of these games. I didn't see a single second of any of these games because I was in Texas. What did we learn from the Pac-12 tournament, if anything?
The Huskies aren't very good. That's what we learned. They were 1.5 point underdogs to Oregon going into the final. A 1 seed versus 6 seed match.
They were underdogs in that game?
Yes.
Wow. Man, Vegas knows.
Vegas does know.
We're going to be like 10-point underdogs.
I mean, really,
game.
If you looked at like KenPom, it should have been a pick'em that game. Oregon had about pulled even and then subsequently passed UW in KenPom after that win. But I guess just the matchup and how well Oregon has been playing lately, they were favored. The Huskies were only 4.5 point favorites over Colorado semifinals.
Oregon was rightly favored. They won by 20.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, everyone knows. Like, we can talk about this now. The Huskies are in the NCAA tournament. We don't have to worry about anyone, you know, getting the wrong impression.
Somebody,
like,
they're not good. A committee member listening to the Pelton cast and being like, oh, they're bad?
they're not good, as it turns out. But that's okay.
They're in.
They're in. Yeah, that's the important thing here. And once you're in, anything can happen.
Okay. I mean, we went into the Pac-12 tournament saying that the Huskies could lose to anybody. And in the Pac-12 tournament, they didn't necessarily, but they could have lost to anybody.
I mean, it was a 3-point win over USC, a 5-point win over Colorado. Both of those very shaky finishes. And that, you know, is going to be the concern if the Huskies are in a position with a lead late in the game. Can they hold on to it? Can they make good decisions and make their free throws?
So they were 2-1 with a negative 12-point differential in the tournament.
Yes, they were. Yes. very, very on brand for the Mike Hopkins era, I would say.
And I mean, this is not a new thing, right? They haven't been good for... I feel like the Cal game was the first game where it was like, oh, this team may be not good.
I mean, the one question I was pondering last night is, when was the last time they played like a game that was good enough to win an NCAA tournament game? So maybe it's at home against Colorado or Utah, but you're at home versus those two teams. Probably not on the road versus Stanford. So if you go back beyond that.
I was thinking that Oregon State game on the road.
That could be. That was played. What was the date of that game now? It was a long time ago, suffice it to say.
Might have been in the month of January.
We were not celebrating St. Patrick's Day then. The Oregon State road game was January 26th. Yeah, so it's been a while since the Huskies have really played an impressive game.
Well, it's actually interesting because they turned things around sort of in Pac-12 play, but had some good games against solid opponents before then. Played good against Gonzaga, right, on the road. Played good against teams that are in the NCAA tournament.
Beat Nevada, who we'll talk about in a moment, was the team that won the Mountain West regular season over Utah State. So, you know, they have shown that when things go right, they can play with just about anyone. But when things go wrong, they go real wrong. They tend to get blown out.
Well, we hope that the Huskies learn how to shoot between now and Friday.
Lots of shooting practice. All right, let's take a look at Utah State.
Tell us about Utah State, kind of first impressions here.
So the Aggies won the Mountain West Conference tournament, but surely would have been in either way since they were an 8 seed. They have a first-year head coach in Craig Smith, a Tim Miles protege, spent time on his coaching staff at both Colorado State and Nebraska, who spent the last 4 years as the head coach at South Dakota. This is his first NCAA tournament appearance, had South Dakota in the NIT and the CBI previously in terms of postseason play. What's fascinating about Utah State, I had no idea about this until I looked it up. They also are ending an 8-year NCAA tournament drought. And not only that, if you look back through 2005, every single year, the Huskies made the tournament, the Aggies made the tournament. The Huskies missed the tournament, the Aggies missed the tournament. Like, it's an exactly identical stretch all the way back through 2005, including 2006, when the Huskies beat Utah State pretty comfortably in the first round during Brandon Roy's senior year. A game that you said earlier you have no recollection of.
No, I thought you told me we lost.
No, that was that game was played opposite a Sonics game. I remember, like, following it.
So that was the year that we lost to Illinois in the Sweet 16.
No, we beat Illinois in the Sweet 16. I don't know if you recall this. We
lost to UConn.
Yes.
Yes, beat Illinois, lost to UConn devastatingly.
Yes.
Okay, my junior year of college. I was at UW when this happened. I had to have watched that Utah State game.
No, you were at the Sonics game,
I chose to go to the Sonics game instead of this Utah State game.
I don't know. I mean, I know I was
this
at
is,
the Sonics
This is
game.
How long that this Husky drought has been.
No, that was not the last time.
I know, I'm just saying.
But
the Sonics were a thing.
So Utah State used to be a power.
Was in college.
I think at that point they were in the WAC, but they were used to be a power under longtime coach Stu Morrill, but had kind of fallen off the last few years before Craig Smith came in and breathed new life into the program. Not many common opponents between these two teams. If you count Nevada, who the Huskies beat in that scrimmage before the exhibition before the season.
Oh, that's where we're getting the scrimmage victory? Come on.
Well, I'm just saying, if we're looking for common opponents, Utah State split two matchups with Nevada, losing by 23 in Reno, but beating them by 5 at home. And then also, the only other common opponent that I could find is they lost by 5 to Arizona State in Las Vegas in a tournament.
Okay.
So, I don't know if that told us much.
No. I mean, one of those teams, UW, didn't play in a game that counted.
But did beat in a game that didn't count. Scouting Utah State, the thing that stands out is their interior defense. They held opponents to 42% two-point shooting, the fourth lowest mark in the entire NCAA, and had the fifth best defensive rebound rate in all of Division I. Offensively, it's kind of a motion-based attack that yielded the nation's sixth highest assist rate. And as I pointed out on Twitter, that's kind of an interesting contrast with the Huskies, who tend to force teams to, you know, out of those kind of motion-based offenses, that kind of drive and kick offense, with that 2-3 zone, and they are in the bottom 40 in terms of opponent assist rate. So that could be a tough matchup, I think, for Utah State at that end of the court. They're a good but not great shooting team, shot 36% on threes, pretty average rate of three-point attempts, but shot a solid 54% on two-point attempts. That's kind of more the strength of their offense, creating easy looks inside. And then players to watch. Sam Merrill, who plays both guard spots for them, was the Mountain West Player of the Year. He shot 53% on twos, 37% on threes, and 90% from the free throw line. Don't want to foul him late in a close game. They also had the Mountain West Freshman of the Year in Nemias Kida, a 6'11 freshman center from Portugal, who was number 20 in the nation in block rate, really anchored that interior defense that was so tough for them.
I mean, how much are we going to lose by? Like, what you're describing here is almost Oregon, right? They have a crafty guard who can shoot well, and they have big men who can defend. This is not a good matchup for the Huskies.
Yeah, it's not ideal. It's not what you would be looking for on paper.
I mean, this is a matchup that's going to force them to make threes, which is something they haven't been able to do for now 4 weeks or so.
I mean, they did against USC, and particularly in the first half, were hot from three, and that's what kind of carried them in that game, even though it ended up tightening up at the end because of their, you know, difficulty finishing things out. But yeah, I mean, if you're looking for the UW offense to get going, I would not say this is necessarily the place to do it. Even though they're not an elite defense overall, they don't force many turnovers and do foul a fair bit. I mean, I guess if you're looking for some way for the Huskies to be effective, Kida, his foul rate isn't particularly high for a freshman center, 4.6 per 40 minutes. But if you can somehow get him in foul trouble, that would dramatically change the way this game would look.
Okay. Well, that's a strategy at least.
Yeah, it's something. It wasn't something the Huskies were able to effectively do against Oregon, execute against
Oregon.
Well,
it felt like Oregon had two or three players.
That's true. I mean, they have two or three solid big men. Kenny yes. Wooten's like the rim protector of that group.
Yes. So maybe if they are able to work it into Noah, get some foul trouble happening, they might be able to develop offense after that.
In this case, it's much more clearly just about an individual player. No one else on Utah State had a block rate of better than 3.3%.
Okay. That's a silver lining.
Yeah, we're finding things here.
Yeah. There's the hope of foul trouble. It's our silver lining.
I mean, I think will be an adjustment for Utah State. I'm not sure they faced a ton of, you know, Syracuse-style zone over the course of the season. So I think that's, you know, another place where, you know, the Huskies could give them some problems. But at some point, you're going to have to score to win. That's just kind of the nature of the NCAA tournament.
Great.
You're not feeling confident about that?
No. I mean, I'm not feeling confident. I feel confident that you do need to score to win. Oh, yeah. I don't feel confident about their ability to do it. But honestly, the thing is, this is one game.
It is.
Teams can get hot. We've seen teams who, going into the NCAA tournament, might not have been on a roll, but then turn it around when they got there. I don't think we can necessarily just say that the last 4 weeks are what this Husky team is and will carry over. They could play well.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's closer to what they are than the first 10 games of Pac-12 play, as we talked about on the weekly podcast last week, where, you know, their three-point shooting was kind of out of line with even in non-conference. But they've been shooting better in the last, you know, 5 weeks than they did in non-conference. So that says something about how poorly they shot that.
Wow. Where does Utah State rank in Ken Pomeroy's rankings?
Number 34. And the Huskies, after their loss to Oregon, dropped to number 51.
Oh, my God.
So they will be solidly favored, even though this is an 8-9 matchup.
Oof. Still, 34s. The Huskies were near that range for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, at their peak, they got pretty close to that. They peaked at number 31, in fact.
Okay.
So
they've just been steadily falling since.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is what you would expect. I mean, you would not, you know, it would be weird if it were completely lopsided.
But it's not the type of game where they're playing like a massively underseeded team or something like that.
No, I wouldn't say that. I was a little surprised, I would say, that Utah State came in quite that high. Although, you know, they did finish the season strong again, winning the conference tournament. Although they didn't... Ain't beat nobody in the conference tournament, Paul. Nevada got knocked out in the semifinals by San Diego State. So the best team that they beat en route to the Mountain West Conference championship was Fresno State, number 72 on KenPom.
Okay.
Of course, they did beat Fresno State by 25 points.
And also, that would make them like the fourth best Pac-12 team.
Yes. Yes, it would.
Any other thoughts on Utah State?
I think we pretty much covered it. I mean, we'll go into a little more depth, I think, you know, maybe strategically during the weekly pod. But for a first look, that about covers it.
Well, lastly, we wanted to say, like we always do at this time, as you listen to this podcast, going up will be the Pelton Cast tournament challenge page, which we'd encourage everybody to submit a bracket to. It's a fun thing. In the past, have we actually given people gift cards for it?
We probably offered to and have forgotten to. Yeah, but yeah, we should give out Pelton Cast hats this time. We haven't done Pelton Cast hats in a while.
Oh, wow. Do we still have some Pelton Cast hats?
We do.
I thought they're all gone. Wow. All right. Well, for the potential of Pelton Cast hats, if we remember to mail them, Because
if you bug us enough,
as you've heard frequently, Carcino's Peltons rarely pay their debts.
Yes.
But if you remind us, Pelton Cast Hats for the People will be doing both the men's and women's brackets in that tournament challenge. That'll be up soon. You'll tweet it from both the Pelton Cast and maybe retweet it on the Kate Pelton Twitter.
Sure.
Or not.
Yeah, probably not. Probably just from the podcast. I'll retweet the podcast.
If you did it on the Kate Pelton one, it would be People Who Hate You Because the Lakers.
Yeah, we don't want them winning at Pelton Cast. Look, it should only be the listeners.
Okay. All right. Fine. Yeah. Those people don't need Pelton Cast hats. They would burn them while wearing their Kobe jersey.
On that note.
Well, we look forward to watching this game on Friday. I mean, there's honestly nothing like being in the NCAA tournament.
I've kind of forgotten what it's like.
It's so much fun having such a high magnitude game. And that's why it's exciting to be back and why it was so sad to miss it for so many years. So we look forward to this one on Friday, and thanks for listening.
Thanks.